always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So the next bit of speculation and rumors and stuff like that, that I do think at this point is worth kind of pointing out, is this Peyton Watson situation. This is another thing, too, where a lot of restricted free agents are a lot more serious about playing under the qualifying offer now than they have been in years past because of the big payday that could come on the other side of that qualifying offer. You have a lot of teams that are taking a lot more hardline stances on negotiation with their restricted free agents. It just leads to a really ugly kind of situation, and everybody has another reason to sit around and watch each other think, I guess. But this Peyton Watson thing is interesting, where Denver is clearly up against it from a tax standpoint, from a second apron standpoint. They would like to bring back Watson, and they would like to trade Christian Brown. But the problem is that, like, now everybody knows that they would rather trade Christian Brown, and they would prefer to keep Cam Johnson. And so everybody's more interested in Cam Johnson. And those trade negotiations have gone the way that trade negotiations typically go in August, which is incredibly slowly. But the one thing I can say that I heard a lot of talk about was the Lakers' interest in Peyton Watson. And, you know, obviously there was that viral moment where Rob Pelinka was talking to Watson there on the court in Las Vegas. You had all of the Lakers, and he said hi to all of the Lakers. The Lakers love themselves some Peyton Watson. And I think they would love nothing more than to see Watson sign at the qualifying offer, and then the Lakers would proceed to apply all kinds of pressure over the course of the season to try to convince the Nuggets to trade Watson either to them or somewhere else, you know, before they lose him for nothing. And so if Watson does, you know, play this season on the qualifying offer, I would go ahead and predict that eventually there would be a bevy of Watson to L.A. rumors. I guess back to L.A. rumors, seeing as he played at UCLA. The Lakers also obviously like to get involved with Denver in negotiations for Cam Johnson. I'm a little skeptical of that because of how things played out with OKC, where they had those contracts that they knew that they had to get off of their books. And rather than send them to, say, L.A., they sent them all east so that they wouldn't have to play those guys until the NBA Finals. And I think that would be kind of the playbook that the Denver Nuggets would be operating under as well. And I find it really unlikely that Cam Johnson is any way available to the Lakers. But that said, you know, one thing I heard plenty of, again, at Summer League was how much Rob Pelinka specifically likes Watson's game. He was really impressed by that stretch where Watson had to take on a little bit more, a more creative role for the Denver Nuggets. Obviously would have preferred to seen him finish the season healthy after carrying that responsibility. The injury concerns, I think, are real enough that they're kind of annoying. But yeah, I do think that this Watson thing has legs. The Lakers, I think, had they not given up both first-round picks and both pick swaps that they gave up to Utah to land Walker Kessler, I think the Lakers would be in trade negotiations right now with Denver for Watson, using the other first-rounder that they wouldn't have used in this hypothetical scenario. But seeing as they did use both of those picks, and given how few assets they have to work with, the Lakers' best chance at Watson is waiting to see what kind of contract he signs, hoping that it's a qualifying offer. And then if it is a qualifying offer, sending an obscene amount of emails to the Nuggets over the course of the season to try to figure out a way to land Watson, you know, during the season, with the threat being they would just land Watson after this 1 year, when at that point he would be a unrestricted free agent. Some interesting stuff going on there.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So the next and final thing that we need to talk about is whatever you guys want to talk about. So let's go back through some of the chat here, see if we have any supers to start off. Nope, we do not. Let's see if you guys have any questions. Yeah, Moneyball Nola. So it's basically everyone in a holding pattern, a staring contest. Here is a dramatic recreation of the entire league right now. Scene. Like that's where we're at. Like it's just an entire league that is at varying levels of vacation. They are at varying levels of interest in players who are currently available. There is varying levels of communication around the league right now about some of these players who are either currently available or you know, might become available over the course of the season. It's just everybody is just kind of sitting here waiting, and like, yeah, that avalanche of activity that was supposed to come after LeBron James signed has not taken place. And I mean, I guess it's somewhat goodish news in that, like, I can go live in August. That normally isn't really an option. But you know, it's kind of annoying news in that, like, we're all just kind of sitting here waiting to see what all of these teams will actually look like when they get together for training camp in a few weeks or so. Let's see. Should the Lakers have saved money and offered Watson $22 to $23 million? This is from Basketball Sports Energy. Should the Lakers have saved money and offered Watson $22 to $23 million since Denver is only offering $16 to $18 million right now? I mean, I guess in this scenario, you are not signing Mamu. And I guess not signing Grimes right away, right? Because you would have renounced LeBron, you would have renounced Rui, you would have opened up as much cap space as you had. You signed Walker Kessler to 30-ish or 32-ish, whatever the number is. And at that point, you would have about 28 left over. So you just got to ask yourself, like, is Peyton Watson worth Quentin Grimes and Mamu? I don't know. I don't know how I would answer that. I would probably say no. You know, and then, you know, given that they signed, like maybe you do that with Watson and you see if Grimes is interested in maybe a lower number, or you see if I guess you technically could have had Watson and Mamu, because Mamu signed for a little bit less than Grimes did. But the problem there, though, is that, like, if you sign Watson to that deal, and then Denver decides to match, and you don't get Cam Johnson out of the deal, and then while you're waiting for Watson, while you're waiting for Denver to make a decision on Watson, remember we just saw them match, obviously different caliber of player, but the Spencer Jones, I think, that situation there, I'm on vacation, I think it's Spencer Jones, but they wound up matching Spencer Jones, even though it put him into a tougher financial spot, Denver did. And so, but if you sign that offer sheet for Watson, and then you lose him because Denver just chooses to match, and then if you aren't able to figure out a trade because you traded everything that you did for Walker Kessler, if you can't figure out a trade for Cam Johnson, and then in the meantime you use Quentin Grimes and Mamu while you were waiting, then like you're just kind of screwed at that point. So this is kind of the leverage that, you know, the teams have in restricted free agency. It completely dries out markets, and a lot of teams are just really reluctant to sign these offer sheets unless you do what the Lakers did and essentially figure out a trade that that Utah was okay enough with to forego the 48-hour waiting period. So, I get the question. I understand it. I don't think it's something that the Lakers would have ever done. But given how this is playing out, I understand where that question is coming from. It's like, you know, maybe you could have had him. I just find it kind of hard to believe that he ever, like, that the Lakers would have risked all of that given the way that their roster came together. All right. Let's see. Mockman is asking, what about Durin? Well, Durin finds himself in a similar spot that Kuminga kind of finds himself in, where all of the suitors have used all of their money, and now he's just kind of hoping that Denver meets his asking price because reasons, I guess. It's turned into another staring contest that I think eventually will result in either Durin signing a contract he isn't happy about, or Durin playing the season out on the qualifying offer. And this is where the Lakers were in kind of like an annoying spot, because like, I guess if you're the Lakers and you want to play out this season or this offseason as Machiavellian as you possibly could, I think both the Pistons and the Utah Jazz wanted their center back, right? Utah wanted Kessler back. Detroit wants Durin back. Neither of those parties want their player back at the number that their player was expecting to get heading into restricted free agency. And so if you're the Lakers, one thing that like one way that they could have played this out was to basically just wait for one of those guys to either go elsewhere or go back to their teams, and then be the only other option that that player has instead of just returning back to their team. The problem that they would run into there, kind of like what you would run into with the Peyton Watson thing, is if you do that and you wait for Walker Kessler to go back to Utah, or you wait for Jalen Durin to go back to Detroit, and then you make an offer to Walker Kessler or Jalen Durin that their respective team just matches, now you're just shit out of luck, and you go into next season with DeAndre Ayton as your starting center again. And that was something the Lakers did not want to risk. And Rob Pelinka specifically knew that his job was riding on. And that's something that I've continued to say. I know it sounds cynical of me, but Rob knew that his job was riding on, or his job security was riding on, the caliber of center that he got Luka. And so every person I've talked to around the NBA has said some version of Danny Ainge knew that, took advantage of it, and got a bit of an overpay from Pelinka, relatively speaking, to the number of assets that Pelinka had going into the summer. And so, like, what the Lakers basically did was they basically said, you know what, we know we need one of these centers. We know we needed to kind of figure this out, you know, going into the season. Let's just pay whatever we have to pay for Walker Kessler. Yeah, it might be a little bit more, relatively speaking, than we would like. Yes, it leaves us a little thin on the other side of it. But most importantly to Rob Pelinka, it keeps him employed. And second most importantly to Rob Pelinka, you know, it makes the Lakers better next year. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. Like, we were talking in the Discord earlier today about how, you know, I kind of go back and forth on this offseason. And the reason that I find myself going back and forth as frequently as I do about this offseason is because there are so many gambles that the Lakers basically made this summer, where it's like, all right, well, what if Walker Kessler isn't, like, doesn't play up to the level that the Lakers need him to play up to? Well, then you're screwed. Okay. What if Austin Reeves doesn't play up to the level that the Lakers think he can play up to on his new max contract? Well, then you're kind of screwed. Okay. What if Quentin Grimes is not quite ready to be an every night starter, 30, you know, ish minute a night player deep into the playoffs? Well, then you're screwed. And it's just like question after question after question, where the pivot point just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, or they don't really have very many pivot points or pivot options. And that makes me nervous. But it's also kind of the situation that you put yourself in when you bank, as you know, to the extent that the Lakers did, on cap space and, you know, utilizing that cap space to sign a restricted free agent or to sign free agents, right? Like, the Lakers, because they use cap space and picks on Walker Kessler, left themselves kind of thin on the other ways that you could utilize cap space. And I think also because of the calculation that the Lakers made, or miscalculation that the Lakers made, that, well, maybe we'll just take advantage of the cap situations that some of these teams will find themselves in. Well, like, it didn't happen. So, but I still think this is a really interesting roster. I'm still really interested and fascinated by how this season might play out. And at the end of the day, like, I'm talking about this team in an interested fashion on August 4th while I'm on vacation. Like, that kind of informs me. Like, the way that this week played out, I recorded the Luka episode and I recorded the Austin episode before I left for vacation, right? Had those kind of banked and ready to go. And in, like, not talking on the air live to you guys about the Lakers, I've, like, realized how much I missed talking about the Lakers. And like, that tells me that at least on some level, like, this team has my interest peaked. And then once we see this team not just be a theory, but also be a practical basketball team, like, then it might go from you have my interest to, okay, maybe we got something here. And we'll see how that kind of plays out. But it is, like, this offseason was a series of gambles. There aren't very many directions that the Lakers can go in if this season doesn't, or those gambles don't pay off. But at the end of the day, like, you could probably say the same about most of the moves that teams make across the NBA. Like, because everybody is so apron strapped and cap strapped and asset strapped and you know, just kind of generally conservative in this new CBA, everybody has to try to buy low and maybe stretch themselves a little bit more than they would like to for some kind of underrated value or unearthed value. And, you know, in that respect, maybe I could be a little less hard on the Lakers for doing what a lot of these teams have had to do anyway. So, yeah. Also, yeah, you're right. Like, Luka's pretty damn good. Oh, I see. Simply Orange had said, Dalton is the best shooter on the team right now, right? Mockman replied, Luka. The problem with Dalton is that he's not smart enough to get a shot off. Like, you know, within the confines of a set play that the Lakers run. Like, he is incapable of remembering plays, and thus that makes it difficult for him to be as effective a shooter as he is just like in terms of raw talent. But no, I would probably say that Luka, in terms of just practicality, is better at shooting than Dalton is. All right, let's go ahead and do the wrap up stuff. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I apologize if this was a really choppy feed because of my parents' Wi-Fi. Like I said, the plan is to travel tomorrow, go live again Thursday, go live again Friday, and then be back to your regularly scheduled Monday through Friday recordings next week. A reminder, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, and turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube, so you get those notifications for the show. And then if you're listening to the show in its podcast form, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts. Also, today's show is brought to you in YouTube form or here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and win your first $5 Prize Picks lineup, and you will get $150 worth of Prize Picks lineups immediately. Have a good rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you on Thursday, unless something breaks. Then I'll talk to you then.